Welcome back to Machines Learning, the daily deep dive, where we take one fresh paper from the wild worlds of machine learning and AI, and we just sort of translate it for thoughtful listeners.
Yeah, the people who are super curious about where the field is going, but, you know, maybe don't want to wade through all the dense math to get there.
Exactly. The promise of the show remains the same. Two hosts, one paper, no math required. I'm so excited for today's topic.
We do. It's a really fun one.
Right. And for those keeping track, this is actually deep dive number 8.
Number 8 already. Wow.
I know, right? And over the first 7 discussions, we've kind of been building this running thread that we call the architectural versus the behavioral.
Which is basically the idea that an AI system's success, you know, whether it actually works, depends a lot less on what we train it to say, the behavioral part, and much more on how we structure the actual substrate underneath it.
Right, the architecture. And we've chased that thread through a lot of areas already. Like, we talked about security, memory constraints, measurement, cognition, coordination.
Model architecture in general, yeah.
Yeah, and even the literal substrate of reasoning itself. But today, we're doing a bit of a pivot. We are stepping out of the server farms and going straight back into the physical world.
Yeah, we're dealing with microphones physically strapped to trees in the field, and animals that definitely do not read AI research papers.
Definitely not. So the source we are looking at today is a paper from late April 2026 up on Arcriginar. It's by Geldenhuys and Niesler, and it's called From Birdsong to Rumbles, Classifying Elephant Calls with Out-of-Species Embeddings.
It's such a great title.
It really is. And the sharp question here, the real hook, is, well, how much of the heavy lifting in classifying these massive, ground-shaking elephant calls can actually be done by an acoustic foundation model that has literally never heard an elephant?
Like, not a single one.
Right. And doing it without any fine-tuning whatsoever.
Yeah, which sounds completely impossible, right? To even understand how they tested this, we really need to look at the experimental setup first. Specifically, this concept of frozen embeddings.
Okay, frozen embeddings. Let's define that for the listener.
Right. So in simple terms, when you use frozen embeddings, it means the pre-trained model acts purely as a fixed feature extractor.
Fixed, meaning it's not learning anything new.
Exactly. It is essentially frozen in time. There's no fine-tuning. You aren't adjusting the billions of internal dials, and there are no adapters plugged in. All you do is you take this massive frozen brain and you train a tiny, super lightweight classifier that you just sort of slap on top.
So the big brain just processes the sound, and the tiny classifier just sorts whatever the big brain spits out.
You nailed it. That's the entire setup.
Hmm.
But what makes this crazy are the specific pre-trained models they used. These are completely out-of-species models.
Right, because they didn't use models trained on jungle noises or general nature sounds.
No, not at all. So one model they used is called Perch, which was trained entirely on birdsong.
Birdsong?
Yeah. We're talking frequencies way up in the kilohertz range. And then the other models they tested were Wave2Vec 2.0 and Huber.
And those are human speech models, right?
Right. Trained exclusively on human speech. I cannot emphasize this enough. None of these models have a single byte of elephant data in them.
Zero elephants.
Zero. And the physical reality gap here is just massive. I mean, an elephant rumble sits dominantly in the infrasound band.
Which is what, exactly?
It's roughly 1 to 30 hertz. That is literally below the threshold of human hearing. You feel it in your chest more than you hear it.
So we're talking about birds, which are octaves, and octaves apart in frequency, with totally different vocal organs and a completely different ecology compared to a 6-ton mammal.
Exactly. The physics of how an infrasound wave moves through the ground is totally different from a bird chirping in the canopy.
Okay, let's unpack this. This is like asking a classically trained violinist who has only ever studied Mozart to suddenly judge a heavy metal bass battle just because they both technically involve strings.
That's a really good analogy, actually.
Really? But I have to push back a little. Why would researchers even attempt this? Like, birds and elephants are separated by so much evolutionary distance. They exist in completely different ecological realities. Why would you think a bird model could hear an elephant?
Well, because despite that biologic mismatch you just pointed out, the actual results of the experiment defy all intuition. They actually pulled it off.
Wait, really? It worked.
It worked incredibly well.
Yeah.
Let's look at the headline metrics. So when they used Perch 2.0, the frozen bird model, that tiny classifier on top achieved an AUC of 0.849 on African bush elephants.
Wow. And just real quick, for the listeners, AUC is basically just a metric for classification accuracy. The closer to 1.0, the more perfect the model is at distinguishing the sounds, so 0.849 is actually really solid.
It's highly accurate.
Yeah.
But it gets better. On Asian elephants, the perch model hit an AUC of 0.936.
Seriously, from a model that only knows birds.
Yeah. But the absolute mic drop moment of this paper is how it compares to the baseline.
Okay, tell me.
So they built an end-to-end supervised baseline model. That means a model specifically trained and fine-tuned on real elephant calls, the specialist.
The one that's supposed to be perfect at this.
Exactly. And this out-of-species, completely frozen bird setup performed within just 2.2% of that highly specialized elephant model.
Wait, 2.2%? That is basically a rounding error.
It is. It's virtually identical performance.
I mean, that is just wild. And for the listener, the reason this matters so much in the real world is that bioacoustic data is incredibly scarce.
And really expensive to label, right?
Oh, incredibly expensive. Paying experts to listen to hours of noisy jungle recordings just to find one elephant rumble is tedious. Plus, conventional supervised AI like that specialist model is super prone to overfitting.
Yeah, it memorizes the background noise instead of the actual animal.
Exactly. It memorizes the specific hum of the microphone or the wind.
Yeah.
And the second the environment changes, the model just fails completely. So if we don't need pristine, bespoke elephant data to track elephants,
yeah.
If we can just use a frozen bird model, that completely revolutionizes conservation tech.
Because you can just deploy it immediately.
Right. And this actually connects back to our deep dive from episode 3 on deep forest sound. We talked about passive acoustic monitoring there and that whole generalist versus specialist trade-off.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
But the key distinction today is that this isn't just about generalists being okay at a few things. This is about highly successful knowledge transfer with zero fine-tuning at all.
Zero fine-tuning, which honestly leads to a massive question. If the model wasn't trained on elephants, where exactly inside the AI's quote-unquote brain is this acoustic understanding even coming from?
Right. It has to live somewhere in the map.
It does. And the researchers found this fascinating secondary discovery on the human speech models, the Wave2Vec 2.0 and Hubert models.
What did they find?
They looked layer by layer. And it turns out the intermediate layers, particularly the second layer of the network, drastically outperformed the final deepest layer for this elephant transfer task.
Wait, the second layer? Out of how many?
Out of dozens. Just layer two.
So the shallow part of the network is doing all the work.
Basically, yeah. And there's this incredible 10% benefit. If you truncate the network, just cut it off entirely at that second layer, you preserve the high classification performance, but you're only keeping about 10% of the network's total parameters.
Okay, from an engineering standpoint, that is absolutely perfect for on-device processing.
Oh, totally.
Because out in the wild, your computational resources are basically nothing. You've got limited battery, limited memory. If the model is only 10% of its original size, you can run that on a sensor in the jungle for months.
Exactly. It solves a huge hardware problem.
But stepping back to our running thread for a second, the architectural versus behavioral stuff, we're sort of extending that to representation depth now, right?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
So what does this all actually mean for how AI learns? Does the model actually become, I don't know, more close-minded the deeper you go?
That is exactly what happens. The intermediate layers, like layer two, are basically capturing an abstract acoustic structure. They learn the general physics of sound.
Like tones and frequencies and rhythms.
Right. Just the universal geometry of hearing.
Yeah.
But as you go deeper, the final layers over-specialize in their specific training domain. So if it was trained on human speech, the deep layers throw away the general physics and start obsessing over human syllables.
So it literally forgets how to be a generalist because it's trying so hard to pass its specific test on humans or birds.
Exactly. The final layers are too specialized. The magic is in the middle.
Okay, but this brings up another crazy question. Why do human speech, bird song, and elephant rumbles share an abstract acoustic structure in the first place? Like, why does layer two recognize all of them as fundamentally similar?
Well, to answer that, we actually have to step out of computer science and look at biology.
Okay, lay it on me.
The answer is this biological phenomenon called the convergent evolution of vocal learning.
Convergent evolution.
Yeah. Across all the animals in the world, there are basically only four documented taxonomic groups of true vocal learners.
Only four. What are they?
You've got songbirds, parrots, cetaceans, which are like whales and dolphins, and elephants.
Okay, so a bird, a parrot, a whale, and an elephant. That is a very biologically weird grouping.
Very weird.
Yeah.
They are not closely related at all. which means they evolved vocal learning entirely independently of one another. They faced completely different ecological pressures to survive.
Right, an elephant on the savanna versus a whale in the ocean.
Exactly. And they use completely different physical anatomies to make sound. Birds use an organ called a syrinx, which is deep in their chest. Mammals, like elephants and humans, use a larynx in the throat.
So different environments, different hardware.
Different hardware, totally independent evolution. Yet, because the physics of making sound are universal, they converged on identical architectural primitives.
Wait, what does that mean in plain English? Architectural primitives.
It means they all communicate using a hierarchical compositional structure of acoustic units.
Meaning they take small sounds and string them together into bigger sounds?
Exactly. A chirp and a whistle become a warning call. They build syntax. And all four of these groups also use motor sequencing under auditory feedback. That just means they listen to themselves make a sound, and their brain adjusts their vocal muscles in real time to mimic what they hear.
So the biological analogy holds up perfectly here.
It does. The abstract architecture, the hierarchical syntax, is what is shared across vastly different surface conditions, both in biology and in machine learning.
Right. So in the AI, the intermediate layers are carrying this shared compositional structure, while the final layers are the ones that specialize.
You got it. It's the exact same dynamic.
Okay, but here's where it gets really interesting, because this is where I think the biological analogy actually breaks down.
Oh, how so?
Well, think about how they learn. Biological selection evolution is totally open-ended.
Right. There's no fixed goal.
Exactly. It happens over millions of generations of survival. Nature is basically building these open-ended survivors that keep all sorts of latent skills just in case they need them.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Yeah, but machine learning loss functions are not open-ended. They are fixed targets. A loss function operates over a matter of weeks, and it's ruthless. It just punishes the model until it gets a specific math problem right.
Right. ML is building highly optimized specialized calculators, not survivors.
Exactly. The AI deletes that universal layer 2 knowledge by the time it reaches the final layer, because the loss function tells it, hey, being good at elephant sounds doesn't help you pass your human speech test, so delete it.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
The fixed target forces the over-specialization, which is why freezing the model and just extracting layer 2 is such a brilliant hack.
Yeah.
You're basically rescuing the open-ended representation before the loss function can destroy it.
That is such a cool way to think about it, rescuing the abstraction.
Yeah. And, you know, it leaves us with this really forward-looking question for the listener to sort of mull over today.
Oh, a provocative thought to end on. I like it.
So if frozen embedding transfer from an entirely different species gets us this incredibly close to perfect without any fine-tuning at all, where exactly does this method hit a ceiling?
That is the big question.
Because remember, there was still a 2.2% gap between the frozen bird model and the specialized elephant model.
Right. The bird was just a tiny bit worse.
So what secret hyperspecific acoustic knowledge is hiding in that tiny 2.2% gap? What is the thing that only fine-tuning on real physical elephants could actually unlock?
I mean, that's fascinating. Is it something about the specific reverberation of the savanna ground? Or some weird harmonic that only an elephant larynx can produce?
We don't really know yet. But it shows that while universal architecture gets you 98% of the way there, the physical world still holds a few secrets that you just can't simulate without getting your boots dirty.
That is incredible. And honestly, it perfectly ties together our whole architectural versus behavioral thread. It's all about finding out what the substrate naturally understands before we force it to specialize.
Exactly.
Well, I think that's a perfect place to wrap up today's analysis. Thank you so much to all of you for taking the time to join us on this deep dive.
Yeah, we really appreciate you guys listening and exploring these concepts with us.
Just a reminder, this is a daily show. We will be right back here tomorrow breaking down another fascinating paper from the edge of AI.
Can't wait.
That's Machines Learning. See you tomorrow.